See you next time. Bye.
Let's give it up for the past 16 years. If you're new with us today, it's a little bit different service, but again, thank you for being here. It's been a great 16 years, but today is more, yes, we're looking back, but more than that, we're looking forward, because like we said in the video, our God is on the move. Therefore, we as a local church, we as His followers are on the move as well. Just a couple more things before we jump into the message today. I do want to take time just to honor Pastor Richard just for a second. You know, today is his 10 years being with us as a church. Pastor Richard and I, we got born again at the same church, our church in Murfreesboro, Bethel in Murfreesboro. We attended Middle Tennessee State there, got born again, got discipled in that church. And when I was sent out with my buddy, Pastor Mike, you'll hear more about that here in a minute, to plant this church, Pastor Richard really stepped up, served under Pastor Ron, who was there as the lead pastor in that church at that time. But when he came out here, you know, we always, Mike and I were white dudes. And well, of course, I'm white. You can tell. My buddy Mike, he was white as well. And we came out here to Clarksville with this vision of building a multi-ethnic church. Now, it's kind of hard as two white guys to try to build a multi-ethnic church. We're going to be a church of the nations. You're like, well, you don't look like a church of the nations. You two white dudes. That was our heart, though. Thank God for Gerald Lee. Gerald, you in the room still? Gerald Lee was our only brother. He was faithful back then. Gerald's not here. He came here first service. But when Pastor Richard came, as you notice in the video, we went from our logo to being that family logo to really that black and white hand logo. And when Pastor Richard and I really came together, I mean, number one, we're more than just employees or have been, we have real friendship. We really are real friends. We hang out together, our families spend time together. But when he came out here, man, this black and white hand, as we released that, which doesn't just represent black and white, it represents all nations. We don't want to build a black church, a white church. We want to build a all ethnic, a full multi-ethnic church. And so I'm so thankful for Pastor Richard and Shannon, so thankful for you guys being here and taking this step to be with us. And just give them one more big hand clap. Pastor Richard's a huge blessing in our church. I mean, really, you don't know who's the lead. It doesn't really matter who the lead pastor is. Him and I lead this thing together. And that's difficult, let me tell you. It's not difficult because him and I, but it's difficult to build a multi-ethnic church. And it's so much easier to build a white-only church or a black-only or Hispanic-only. If you're a church planter and you want to grow your church fast, you don't do what we try to do. You do not even attempt it because most churches can't do it. But God has given us the grace to be able to do that. I want to honor two other families here. Guys, if you have not been back in our Go Kids Children's Ministry, I encourage you, go back there. It's been renovated. It looks amazing. When our kids walk into this building, there's an excitement and a joy that's going to be stirred in them to learn about Jesus. I just want us to give a big hand clap to Sarah and to John. Sorry, bud. To Sarah and John. Sarah, where are you? Is Sarah here? Sarah, where are you? Raise your hand, sweetheart. Sarah, stand up. Stand up, Sarah. This is Sarah. And this is John, her amazing husband. And also to Kelby and Jen. Kelby and Jen, stand up. This is Kelby and Jen. These guys spent hours, weeks, months planning this. And so I wanted you to give them a big hand clap. Everything you see back there is because of them coming together with a vision to take our children's ministry our Go Kids Children's Ministry to another level. So thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. Guys, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 today. Real quick message here, Matthew 14. Matthew 14 really is a picture of our call to this city. It is a perfect picture. It begins with Jesus' friend actually dying, John the Baptist. And what you're going to discover here in a moment, some of you guys don't know this, but this church really was launched from a tragic death. So let's read Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 13. Matthew 14 says, "Now when Jesus heard this," he heard that his buddy John the Baptist was dead, "he withdrew from there in a boat into a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd." We also have a great crowd in our city. "And he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They do not need to go away.'" What did he say? "You give them something to eat." They said to Jesus, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So more like 20,000 people. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out in the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith." Man, I'm thinking, Jesus, Peter walked on water. What do you call him of little faith for? I'm going to ask Jesus that when I get into heaven. "Why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him. "Truly you are the Son of God." Perfect picture of really our call to this city. You know, first off, here we have Jesus losing his friend, John the Baptist. Now, 17 years ago, there was a Bible study meeting at Austin Peay State University. And there was a young lady by the name of Brittany who was attending that Bible study. And Brittany one night got hit by a drunk driver. And my buddy, Mike, who was pastoring with me in my church, our church in Murfreesboro, he ended up getting a phone call. Sergio was there at this Bible study. He got a phone call saying, "Hey, there was a young lady by the name of Brittany who has been hit by a drunk driver attending this Bible study that we're heading up. Will you go and minister to the family?" Pastor Mike shows up, prays, talks to the family. Sergio, did you meet Mike that night? Do you remember you met Mike then? Prays for the family, but a couple of weeks later, Brittany didn't make it. Brittany ended up passing away. Mike goes back and says, "Hey, we need to start a church in Clarksville to reach Clarksville and Fort Campbell." The pastors there in Brentwood said, "Sure, what do you want? What do you need?" He said, "I'd like to take Lance and Dee." And so they came and asked my wife and I to come with them. So that was 2004. We moved out here. And what's amazing about that is out of a tragic death, something that brings life was birthed. Jesus took what the enemy meant for evil, and he turned it around for the good. Today, Bethel is here. God took, we obviously our heart breaks for Brittany and her family 17 years ago losing this young girl. But something that brings life now came out of this tragic death. Let's give God a big hand clap for that. That's amazing. Sergio, did you ever meet Brittany's parents? Do they live here in town? Do you know? You don't know. You know, so this is exactly what we have here in Matthew chapter 14. Here we have Jesus facing the loss of his loved one. There's this massive crowd. And just as Jesus is about to minister to this crowd, you and I are called to the crowd of our city. But there's something that needs to be inside of us, and we see it right here with Jesus. Jesus was able to do what he is about to do, first and foremost, because he had compassion. We see that. He said he felt compassion for the people. Friends, can I tell you, if you and I are going to reach this city, it's going to take you and I having compassion in our hearts towards people. Now, that's easy to say, but hard to do. And here's why. Because people, if you're like me and you're honest, get on your nerves, don't they? People will drive you crazy. I mean, if you're like me, I'm thinking to myself, hey, you keep coming to me asking me this question. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, your problem will be solved. Your wife will love you, your wife will appreciate you, and you'll get everything you want and desire. But you won't listen. But even though sometimes people are difficult, even though sometimes we're difficult, right? If we have compassion, but it takes compassion, friends, to reach people. It takes love to reach people and to serve people. It takes us putting down what we'd like to happen, our own dreams, our own wishes, our own desires, to say, hey, I'm going to serve you the way Jesus served me. It takes compassion to do this. Friends, we've got to get our minds off, and I know it's difficult because we all have jobs, we have family, we have this, we have that, so we get so myopic, and we focus on our little circle, my responsibility, my kids, my job, my this, my that, and we forget that there is a city out here that desperately needs Jesus, that needs the gospel, that needs to hear your story, that needs a place like Bethel. But when we have compassion, with that compassion, like the Apostle Paul talks about how his compassion or love for the people drove him to communicate the gospel. Will that compassion for Jesus, that compassion for people, will it drive you and I outside of our comfort zones to be used by God to communicate his story or your story tied with his story to someone else? Can we do that? Can we do that as a church? You know, I'm thankful for Bethel. And what I'm thankful for, Bethel, is for this. I'm thankful that you and I have chosen is that we're going to be a place that when people walk into this building, hopefully you felt it today, that when people walk into this building, they walk in feeling that I'm not going to be judged here. I'm not going to be condemned here. If I share my struggle, people are not going to look down on me for having a struggle. Friends, I'm here to tell you, here at Bethel, we have built a culture of compassion. A culture where it's okay to share your pain. It's okay to share your past. Because every single one of us, including myself, has a story that we wish never would have happened. I wish I never would have done this. I wish I never would have done that. The fact of the matter is, it happened. And for you and I to overcome some of the pains of the past, some of the difficulties that we have, it's going to take us realizing that we are a people of compassion. That you can share your story and not feel like somebody's going to condemn you or shame you or look down upon you. This is the kind of culture we're building here at Bethel. See, our heroes here in this church are those who have a painful past, but have been redeemed by Jesus and now are able to tell their story. That's the heroes at this church. That's the heroes. People don't need to just to hear my story. They need to hear your story. I think about stories like Dr. Brad and Kelly Vanderveen. We all know and love Dr. Brad and Kelly. They've been with us just like Sergio and Katie from the very beginning. I think about Dr. Brad. Dr. Brad and Kelly went through a very difficult time in their relationship, very difficult time in their marriage. For most marriages, they would not have made it the things that they faced. But you know what? They were willing to trust Jesus. Not only were they willing to trust Jesus, but they were willing to stay connected to church family. Because you know, when things begin to happen in our life, maybe it's a sin we commit, maybe it's something we're ashamed of, the last place you want to come to is what? The church. That's exactly right. Thanks, Levi. You feel ashamed, don't you? You feel like you walk in, you think, oh my God, everybody knows. Like there's a big sign on your head. Everybody knows what's going on, and nobody does. But you think that because the enemy lies to us. But Dr. Brad and Kelly stayed connected to Jesus, connected to church family. They were able to work through their difficulty. And now, they have told their story countless of times, many times. Victory Weekend, in our community groups, one-on-one with other couples. Their story is changing others' lives simply because they trusted Jesus, stayed connected to family. See, when you go through something, your heart begins to break for others who are going through that as well. Did you know your story can change someone else's life, just like Dr. Brad and Kelly? Let's give it up for Dr. Brad and Kelly. I think about Sarah Sweeney. I think about Sarah. If you were with us 5 years ago, you know her husband, Ty Sweeney. 5 years ago, my wife and I get a call Christmas Eve night saying that Ty has just went to the hospital. A couple of weeks later, Ty ends up passing away. Sarah loses her husband. But Sarah, some of you heard at the beginning of the year, she actually stood on this stage and began to communicate her story of losing Ty. Ty was a great friend of mine. Miss that man every day. But she was able to communicate the loss that she felt, the pain that she was going through. She was able to communicate how mad she was at God. Did you know it's okay at times to get mad at God? It's all right. He's a big guy. He can handle it. But she communicated that. But she still trusted Jesus. And she still stayed connected with church family. Let me tell you, there was times that she wanted to run away. There was times that she wanted to give up. But because she stayed connected, because we were a church of compassion, because she knew this was her family, she stayed connected. And now she stands on this stage and others in our city and from Hopkinsville, which is where she lives. And she's able to communicate her story to bring healing to others who have gone through a similar loss. Let's give it up for Sarah. Amazing story. I think about my main man, Rob Smith, a.k.a. Big Rob. That's what I call him. I think about Big Rob. You know, Big Rob served in the military for 20 years. Big Rob saw things that those 20 years, he saw things that just weighed upon him. But like many of you soldiers in the room, when those things weigh upon you, many times you don't want to admit how they're affecting you, right? No, I don't have that. No, I'm not going through this. But thank God for Big Rob's wife, Delilah. Delilah didn't give up on Rob. Continued to encourage him. Hey, you need to go to Reboot. Reboot here is a ministry. It's really a ministry in our community and around the nation that we partner with as a local church. Delilah kept encouraging Rob. Rob didn't want to go. Is Big Rob in the room, Delilah? He's serving and go kids. I love it. He didn't want to go. I don't have a problem. What are you talking about? I'm sure he said that, didn't he, Delilah? But as Rob began to go, you know what? He began to see that, hey, it's all right to have a problem. It's okay to struggle with what you've seen. And he began to see that I'm not going to be judged or condemned by what I've gone through. And as he went through Reboot, and even today, that weight is being lifted off of Rob's shoulders. Is it completely being lifted yet? No, not yet, right, Delilah? But it's slowly being lifted off of him. And this man is walking in victory like never before. He trusted Jesus. He stayed connected to family. And he opened up. Hey, this is what I'm going through. And because of that, he is finding victory. Let's give it up for Big Rob. Last one, I think about Ben and Kristen Davis. Now, Ben and Kristen are special to my wife and I simply because we went through premarital counseling with them. We married them. And one of the things I'll never forget, after Ben and Kristen got married, they came up to me and said, Pastor Lance, we are really struggling. For some reason, we're just not able to have a baby. We're desiring to have a baby, but it's just not happening for us right now. And so we began to pray and really stand with them. But they were opening up. They were talking to us about their struggles, sharing what's going on. And so we stood in faith, in prayer. I'll never forget one Sunday morning, Kristen comes up to me and she said, oh my gosh, Pastor Lance. She said, you were praying that prayer. I don't even know what it was, but said, you prayed that prayer and I just came into agreement with that. And I believe right then and there that we were going to have a baby. Sure enough, 1 month later, Kristen comes back to me and said, you're not going to believe it. We are pregnant. We are pregnant. That's little Harper there. That's baby Harper. That is their little baby girl. They kept trusting Jesus, even when it's difficult. Even when it was difficult, but they begin to share their struggle to spiritual family, to those they could trust and stand with them in prayer. Let's give it up for Ben and Kristen. Amazing story. The reason I tell these stories, because there's two things in common in every one of these stories. You heard me say it over and over again. They trusted Jesus, but they also did not walk alone. they shared their struggle with their spiritual family. Now, not everybody. I'm not saying you get on stage, hey, this is my problem. Everybody needs to know. I'm not talking about that. That's weird. You find, you connect with somebody in this church. You connect, maybe it's a community group leader. This is why we tell you all the time, go to a community group. Be a part of a group. Because this is why. It's hard to connect on a Sunday morning. We're all hustle and bustle, moving here and there. But in a community group, you can find those that will stand with you in faith, that will connect with you, that can help you take steps to getting victory to whatever struggle you may have in your life. But you've got to take that step. See, this is a place of compassion. This is a place where we built this culture where it's okay to share what is going on. And we take that compassion into our city, Clarksville and Fort Campbell. You see, because of the compassion, Jesus was able to offer them something to eat. Now, here we have the disciples. They're looking. They're like, look, I don't think really they cared about the people being hungry. I think they were hungry. They had been with Jesus all day long. Now, you guys can't even stay with me for an hour without getting hungry. Think about all day long. Vince, I'm hot. Is Vince in here? Vince, somebody find Vince. John, you can turn it down for me, buddy. Are y'all hot? Anybody hot? They've been with Jesus all day long. They're hungry. Like, Jesus, let's get rid of these people so you can take us down to McDonald's and get us something to eat. Jesus said, no. You give them something to eat. What do? They do what we do. They looked at the little that they had. Jesus, we only have 5 loaves and 2 small fish. What are they amongst so many? Now, how many times have we said that? Our call as a church, yes, to have compassion, but our call is also to feed our community. What do we feed them? We feed them the gospel. Or we feed them God's story tied with our story, how the gospel impacts our life, and we feed that into our community. But the problem is, you and I, what we do is oftentimes we look at what the little that we have. Well, I can't do this. I only have this amount of money. Oh, nobody wants to hear my story. That's what we do. We eliminate, in a sense, God being able to use us because we look down upon ourselves so many times. But what you see in this story is these men took the little that they had. Jesus said, bring it to me. What did they do? They placed it into Jesus' hands. And when they placed it into his hands, Jesus blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it back to the disciples. Now, this is another message, but that's kind of the process of God in our life. He blesses us, he breaks us, and he gives us back into the world. But here's the interesting thing about this story. The interesting thing is the bread did not start to multiply, or the fish did not start to multiply until what? The disciples started to distribute the food. If they just held on to it, that food would have never fed over 5,000 people. But because they were willing to take a step and begin to give it, supernaturally, that bread and that fish begin to multiply right before them. Friends, it's the same for you and I. You know, here at Bethel, we talk about trusting God with our finances, giving back our hard-earned dollars into the local church that you're called to be a part of. We believe in giving 10%. Now, some of you might say, well, that's too big of a step for me. Well, our encouragement then is whatever you got faith for, maybe it's 1%, 5%, 7%. I don't know, but start somewhere. Start with the little that you have. Don't look at it. Give it. Begin to trust Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with the little. And I promise you, God is faithful to his word. He's done it in my life for over 20 years. God is faithful to his word. And as you give, guess what's going to happen? It will multiply. It will not only feed you, but it will feed our entire community. The Bible says that they ate and they were what? Satisfied. That's exactly what happens when we give, that we're able to satisfy the needs that our community has. They had compassion. They were called to feed. We're called to feed this city with the gospel, but also our story being tied to the gospel. And the last thing is this. We're called to continue to trust Jesus. They get on this boat. They're in this storm. Now, these are fishermen. They've seen storms before. This storm was so bad, fear entered their heart. Pastor Richard, Jesse, come on up. Fear entered their heart. winds and waves are coming. They see what they think is a ghost and they cry out. What does Jesus say? He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter says, Jesus, if it's you. Now, I don't know who Peter thought it was. But Jesus, if it's really you, command me to get out of the boat and come to you. So what does Peter do? He gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on uncharted waters towards Jesus. There's the rain champ. He begins to walk on uncharted waters towards Jesus. As he kept his eyes on Jesus, he would not sink. But as soon as he got his eyes on what? The wind and the waves, here he goes. He begins to sink. Our call, friends, no matter where we are, whether in our marriage, with our finances, no matter where we are, with a job, I don't know where, we're all in different places. But if we're going to fulfill the mission that God has called us to be a part of together as a local church, we've got to trust Jesus. Got to keep our eyes on Him. These next months, especially leading to the election, uncharted waters. Especially for a church like us, a multi-ethnic church. Uncharted waters. There's going to be a lot of things said that's going to want to try to divide you and I as a local church. Friends, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on Him. No matter who the next president is, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we can't allow, because here's what happens. When you begin to watch the news, whatever side you're on, if you allow it, the news and the media can allow you to begin to demonize other people. You begin to demonize, man, those Republicans, or those Democrats, or those whatever. We can't allow that, friends. Because there are Republicans, Democrats, and Independents sitting in this room, and we're a church family. We're a spiritual family. We're centered around Jesus, not a political party. Do we encourage to vote? Yes, you need to vote. But we cannot allow one side or the other to divide us as a local church. We are going to move into uncharted waters, even after the election. All the turmoil our nation is going through. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. In your marriage, with your children, your own finances, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And one of the ways you do that is by taking practical steps. That's why we talk about, hey, go to Starting Point. If you've never been to Starting Point, there's a new one coming up the first Sunday of October. Our Go Kids building, you need to go. It's a practical step that you can take to keep your eyes on Jesus. Starting Point talks about how you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, but it also talks about connecting with the church family here at Bethel. If you're not a part of a community group, you need to go to a community group. Again, it connects you and helps you keep your eyes, to keep focused and keep trusting in Jesus. If you never have given before, listen, we're going to reach our community. We need you to give. I'm not ashamed to say it. We need you to give. We need you to sow your hard-earned dollars into the vision because you believe in this place. You believe in the mission and the vision and where we're going as a local church. This is our call. We're called to have compassion. We're called to feed. And we're called to keep trusting in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lord, thank you for this anniversary Sunday. Lord, as we look back, we celebrate the past 16 years. But we also look ahead. We know it's going to be uncharted waters. But Lord, we're here to trust in you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us. Help us to know what direction, what step to take, what direction to go. Help us, God, to know what to say, what not to say. And more than anything, that we would continue to stay together as a church family. I speak against any divisiveness. I say no to that in the name of Jesus. That we're going to be a family that has compassion for one another, for our community. We're going to be a family that's going to feed one another, feed our community. And we're going to be a family that put our trust in you and trust also in one another. And I just speak a blessing upon this place. Thank you for what's ahead for us as a church. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Come on.
Amen.
Hey, babe.
Such a good word. Guys, wanted, if you could, Go ahead and stand. Just to let you know, just a few quick things before you walk out. So let you know that our prayer team is going to be down front if you need them immediately following the service. Also let you know, if you've never had a chance to meet Pastor Lance or myself, we have something called First Step. We meet in the cafe. We'd love to meet you and your family if we've never done that. Also, we have Rush tonight, rain or shine. Our middle school, high school ministry is going to meet at 5:30 p.m. right here at Bethel. Also, if you signed up for a community group, don't forget to show up to the community group. There's still room for you. You can sign up at bethelcommunity.church. Many of them, most of them, are going to begin this week.
All right, and Jill, I got the radar pulled up. Brrr, looking good.
Okay, well, it looks like there's no rain right now, but I can hear rain right now.
I don't care. We're doing it. Y'all come. 1 o'clock. We got 45 minutes. We'll be fine. Look at the percentages. Hold on. Don't dismiss yet.
Yeah, I saw the percentages, but...
Sam, hold on. Do you want to watch a football game? Is that the problem here? Are you going unspiritual on me right now? You rather be at a football
All
game?
All I'm saying is, it was 100% chance of rain a second ago.
Look, 16%.
16%.
It's just a little passing shower. The picnic is on. Woo!
Yay! All right. See y'all soon.
See you soon. You're dismissed.
Stars at your feet from rose.